What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The evidence just continues to mount. Leezy asked earlier. Let me find it. Leezy, do you think the Raiders should go after Bryce Young or just wait for the draft? I think it depends on when the draft, where in the draft that they are. I also think it depends on what the, and I hate this term, forgive me, asking price is for Bryce Young.
Yeah, if it's not much, I'd take a flyer on him.
I think if you're trading for Bryce Young 2 years into his career, the asking price is going to be pretty high.
Trey Lance went for a fourth round pick. Are you giving that up for Bryce Young?
Trey Lance went for a fourth round pick. Yes, I'll give that up for Bryce Young, and I'd be surprised if that's all it was. I feel like it have to. This is the former number one overall pick in the draft. He went to the Carolina Panthers. The
Niners' leverage is kind of different there in that scenario where they already had their quarterback, too. So it's kind of like, what are we going to pay you, give you all this for Trey Lance when you already got your guy?
Right. Like, it was the Trey Lance situation with the 49ers felt more like in a trade conversation, well, what else are you going to do?
Yeah.
Like, bro, we're helping you out. Like, come on. Like, there's nothing better out there for you. Let's just move along. And keep
was Josh going. Rosen traded after his first year? Well, I guess the same thing. He was replaced immediately.
Yeah,
I don't think Bryce yet.
Right?
I think
it went Wilkes, Rosen to Kingsbury, Murray.
Yeah, I don't think if the Panthers do move, it won't be to the offseason, I think.
Yeah, I think you're
right. They'll have to have their guy, too, I think, now that we're talking through this.
No, yeah, and that's where I go back to Mike Florio's article. I'd boycott. If I'm the quarterback class of this upcoming draft, I'm not going to Carolina. Y'all are destroying quarterbacks year after year after year. If your secret sauce is Andy Dalton, then by all means, keep signing 36-year-old quarterbacks. Hell, the Panthers can sign Russell Wilson next year. Who knows if he even gets on the field at this point for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But you talk about statements. I think the Vikings made a statement, and I think Justin Fields made a statement. I think Justin Fields made a statement yesterday that says, I'm a quarterback in this league. I belong in this league. I was in a bad situation before, and I needed someone to buy into me. It doesn't matter how I got here, but I'm here. Justin Fields is here. Justin Fields has always shown the signs of being a good quarterback. I hope that this doesn't happen with Caleb Williams, by the way. This is absolutely not what I want to see from the Chicago Bears. I want them to figure it out. I want them to be good. I want them to build up around Caleb Williams. I want things with Caleb Williams in Chicago to work.
You get Caleb a decent offensive line and the right coaches, and I think he's good.
I think so. I think you're right.
Because I feel like you could see it too with him.
The signs are there. The signs are also there. You talk about statement wins. This is a statement in the other direction. And I'm sorry to Raider fans, because this is going to be said a lot headed into this week. It doesn't mean it's influencing how I feel about the game or that I'm predicting some sort of outcome, because I'm done with that. But the Browns are terrible. The Browns are terrible. They lost to the New York Giants. Deshaun Watson is terrible. Whatever happened to that young man in Houston is never, that player is never seeing the football field again.
I think it's a shoulder I think it's a shoulder.
But his shoulder just happened. His shoulder was the injury he just sustained, right? He didn't have a shoulder coming out of Houston, did he?
I think wasn't he dealing with injuries early on in his Cleveland career? I might be misremembering.
Well, he got hurt. No, you're right. He got hurt. No, because he was suspended. So the trade happens. He's suspended like half the season. Maybe he got hurt at the end of that first half of the season that he played.
Either way, though, he's cashed. He's done. Yeah, I don't think Deshaun Watson from the Houston Texans will ever show up again.
Yeah, that guy's gone. That guy is absolutely gone. Not to mention, it appears he might be facing some more legal issues coming up here as the days and weeks go by. Seattle and Pittsburgh. I want to say Pittsburgh made a statement going 3-0. I can't, but I'm willing to say that Justin Fields made a statement to go to 3-0. Seattle, I do not know what to do with that.
Is it fair to say that Pittsburgh didn't make a statement, but they're also a legit 3-0 team right now? I'm not saying now we'll make them Super Bowl contenders, but they're probably more likely a good team rather than a fraud at this point.
Yeah, I don't think you're 3-0 right now and a fraud. Like, I don't think Seattle's a fraud. How good are they? I don't know. I'm not sure. But this is a staple, and maybe that's Mike McDonald. Maybe that's Michael McDonald versus Mike Tomlin. This is Mike Tomlin. This is what he does. Mike Tomlin wins football games. He will win regular season football games. He will get the most out of every Pittsburgh Steeler team he has. And I know that. I have a lengthy history of watching that to know that that statement is true.
It's only week 3, too, but Justin Fields already looks better than whatever Pittsburgh had last season.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's already 10 times better than whatever it was.
And that was a 9-win Pittsburgh team?
Really, so yeah.
3-0 already. Russell Wilson inactive for all three games. I'm not sure that Russell Wilson doesn't even need to be in the conversation anymore. Certainly not right now. And it'd be ridiculous. Like, to me, Russell Wilson's out of the conversation for the foreseeable future. Because it would be ridiculous to put him in the conversation just because they lose. Pittsburgh all of a sudden 3-1, 4-1. Oh, let the Russell Wilson talk. What? Was Justin Fields legit got to go 17-0 to keep his job? No, I don't think so. Justin Fields is the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's the case right now. That needs to be the case moving forward. At some point, I'm going to have to give Seattle credit. I'll take that back. I do give Seattle credit for being 3-0. At some point, I need to watch Seattle closer to figure out how they got to 3-0. Because they always wind up on the short end of the multi-view. And I'm relying on Red Zone to keep me updated on what Seattle is doing. And for 3 weeks now, they're coming out victors. They're winning. Tough L's for the NFC South, with one exception.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Tampa Bay.
You really harping on that? You ain't said nothing about the Saints. You ain't said nothing about the Falcons. You keep killing my Bucks.
Yeah, Tampa Bay comes out of that Lions game win. I'm like, oh, yeah, they're a legit NFC team now. They're no longer an NFC South good team. They've graduated. And then you go and you lose to the Broncos at home.
Yep.
Not even in Denver. You are at home. The Saints, I watched that one in its entirety or whatever. Like, that was just a good defensive game right there. Philly schemed up a good defensive game for Kamara. He had nothing for him. Shahid had nothing the entire game. I feel like the Saints did what they could. Carr's last interception on that final drive was tough. You could tell as soon as he threw it, it was like, oh, this is not going to work out or whatever. And the Falcons, I don't know what that last play was at the end of the game yesterday, but yeah, Tampa Bay, like, they, you can justify the other two losses, but Tampa Bay, like, what are you losing the Broncos for at home?
26-7.
Yeah, that's the thing too. They were never in it. Like, Baker didn't look good. It was just a tough game.
Three straight scoring drives for the Broncos. The Bucs finally get in the end zone with 2 minutes left, less than 2 minutes left in the first half. And before they even get to halftime, the Broncos are able to kick a field goal there and put the lead back up to 20-7. And then the Broncos just kicked field goals the rest of the way.
And then I get all nervous because it's like, well, you know what? Detroit kind of did have multiple opportunities to beat the Bucs in week 2, so it's like, what's what here? But I'm going to stick with the Bucs.
Yeah, they're not a juggernaut. I'll say that. They're not a juggernaut. Maybe where we really need to pump our brakes a little bit is the NFC South. That was a weird, you called it a defensive game, which is perfectly fine. That was a pretty bizarre outing for the Eagles and the Saints. Like, Jalen Hurts threw for 311 yards in a team where he scored in a game where his team scored 15.
He wasn't good. He threw for 300 yards. He was not good in that game. And neither was Nick Sirianni. The Eagles won that game because of Saquon and their defense.
Saquon is a monster. Like, what Saquon is doing is pretty ridiculous.
Everything KC has said about Jalen Hurts, I feel like, is becoming true, too.
Man, that's tough.
I'm trying to, like, because I was on the other side. I was like, no, he can get back to his MVP form, and that's not happening right now. His decision-making isn't great. He's not awful or bad even necessarily, but he just doesn't look great.
Them, meaning the Eagles, winning games in spite of Nick Sirianni sucks. Absolutely sucks.
There was times I was watching, it's like, you know what, if they lose, like, this is a game where you could point to, it's like, yes, we got to fire Sirianni because of this.
It feels like every NFL fan, whether you're an Eagles fan or just a football fan, they're just begging for Nick Sirianni to be fired. Everyone wants to live the moment that Nick Sirianni is fired. He appears to be an awful football coach. He's also a jackass, but he appears to be an awful football coach.
That win might have bought him time till the offseason.
And that's the thing. He's just these wins against a team that still, you know, despite the performance yesterday, still looks like a quality football team. Just prolongs it, like, oh, he's sticking around. And then, of course, the Falcons lost in the Sunday night game against the Kansas City Chiefs. I thought the Falcons did a hell of a job. That was an interesting one. The Chiefs have not looked spectacular. But you don't have to, I guess. You just need to win. And that's all the Chiefs are doing, is they're just finding ways to win games. This wasn't a game at the buzzer, but obviously this was a very, very close game. The two prior were pretty kind of ridiculous finishes. But no matter how they got here, they're here. The Chiefs are 3-0. And Atlanta, the weird thing, like Atlanta, I wasn't with you and KC at first on this one, but Atlanta, like, they're 1-2, but they do look like a good football team.
Yeah, I'm not going to, like, losing to the Steelers, I'm not going to fault them for that. Steelers have a legit defense, and losing to the Chiefs, Chiefs are Super Bowl champs, so you can't fault them there either. Kirk is starting to look a little bit more like himself, too, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, man, so very few statements made, but Minnesota made a big one. I think Justin Fields made a big one.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One, and I think Cleveland made a statement that they stink. Again, what that has to do with the game against the Raiders this weekend, I have no idea, because the Raiders didn't do themselves any favors either.
Do we feel any sort of way about Dallas?
We're going to get to that one. I don't know how to describe what we saw. I don't know what you do. It doesn't feel like it matters. I saw, you know what got me was, did you see Micah's post game at the locker?
No, what did he say?
I'll tell you about it. Micah's post game at the locker was the one that's like, oh man, okay. There are some issues in the Cowboys locker room for sure. We'll come back. We'll talk about that Ravens-Cowboys game. We'll talk a little bit about what we saw in the W as well. Plus, James Hamm at the top of the hour. Steelin' with KC brought to you by Sky River Casino. Get in on the action. Sky River Casino is the place to play with 2,100 of the newest slot machines and over 80 table games. Sky is the limit. It's Sky River Casino here on ESPN 1320. My main man, James Hamm, are the insiders joining us here at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. We'll talk some football with him. Kings training camp approaching. We're not too far away from the start of another season. I guess the first. I don't remember. James gave us those dates. We'll ask him when he joins. Of course, we got some great basketball going on right now. Congratulations to Asia Wilson. Absolutely no surprise whatsoever. She won her third MVP over the weekend. Absolutely shouldn't be a surprise to anyone that she was the unanimous MVP. And once they got on the court, the games went as you probably could predict. Aces fought to a game one win. And when I say fought, they fought in the fourth quarter. The Seattle didn't hit a field goal for, like, it felt like the entire quarter. They could not make a basket. It was a tight game to start. And then I think the Aces went on like a 14-2 run, 16-2 run, something like that. The Seattle just could not get a bucket. An absolute disaster for them. But Connecticut got a dub. Minnesota got a dub. And New York, they all grabbed game one victories, in addition, of course, to the Las Vegas Aces. Asia's had an amazing year. Part of me wonders if Asia's going to wind up winning Defensive Player of the Year award as well. I think there's a lot of contenders for that one. There's a lot of very capable women who had incredible years who will get votes for the Defensive Player of the Year award. But Asia really had an extraordinary season, and a run from the Aces here in the playoffs will certainly cap that off. We're watching one of the league's great teams. We're watching some really good teams right now play. Not just talking about in the postseason, but talking about this season in general. Connecticut, Minnesota, like these are solid basketball teams. And I think it was Nafisi, it might have been someone else. They were like, hey, you know, what do you think about, you know, Diana Taurasi? You know, next last game could be here in Minnesota. And so, like, yeah, we hope to end her career right here in Minnesota. But the WNBA playoffs are jumping, man, certainly an exciting start. And I just, truthfully, Indiana's been a really good story, especially since the All-Star break, especially since the Olympic break. But I don't need them to go any further than they are. I unless you told me Diana was winning the championship, I don't need Phoenix to go any further than they are. The best teams in the league are the Aces, the Sun, the Lynx, and the Liberty. Give me that. Give me the Stars. Give me Stewie. Give me Sabrina. Give me Nafisi. Give me that Connecticut squad that just seems to keep revamping themselves with Dawana Nekru. Give me them. And then give me that loaded Aces squad. They are getting the Fever are getting a great Wednesday time slot with no football opposition, no nothing. They just get to go out there in that one with Connecticut and have the stage to themselves. So that'll be fun to watch coming up in a couple of days. Six teams grabbed their first wins in the NFL this week. The Ravens, the Panthers, the Broncos, the Colts, the Rams, and the Giants. Let's talk about the Ravens here for a second. The Ravens and the Cowboys game look like something. It looked like something, and man, the Cowboys were going to get cooked for this. Then the game kind of went a different way. And that final, was it 8 minutes or so in the fourth quarter? Like, I don't know what to make of this stuff. Because in the NBA, how many times do you see big leads, runs, and then the team that had the big lead, they do just enough to survive? And in the end, like, you walk away with a dub, and that's really kind of all you're thinking about. But the Cowboys, like, the Cowboys were getting their ass kicked. And they were going to walk into a brutal, brutal Monday. Then they made a run. Then they lost because Lamar Jackson made a play. And that's what he's capable of doing. And so I didn't know whether to, like, how to make heads or tails of this game. Again, the Cowboys couldn't do anything offensively until the final, like, 8 or 9 minutes. But then I saw Micah Parsons at his locker after the game. And he called out everybody. Micah was not good, cool, charmed by the late run. And it spoke to me. It sounded like, man, there's some issues in this locker room. Now, maybe those issues aren't with each other. Maybe those issues are with each other. Maybe those issues are on the defensive end. Whew. Man, we talk about what the Raiders were on the defensive end. We talk about what the San Francisco 49ers were on the defensive end. We talk about how it looks like they're struggling. And then we watch the Cowboys. These once great defenses don't look like it right now. And they all look like different degrees of bad.
I think with that fourth quarter, too, that's more on the Ravens than it is the Cowboys coming back. The Ravens have the most blown leads in the fourth, most losses in the fourth quarter with a 7-point lead over the last five seasons.
Well, shout out to the Raiders.
So that's kind of their MO right there for the Ravens.
And it feels like they let their guard down for a score, and then things kind of started going for them. Like, it was 28-6 with 9 minutes left. And then the Cowboys scored. And then the Cowboys scored. And then the Cowboys scored. And then all of a sudden, you needed Lamar Jackson to make a play, or you were risking losing this game. Derrick Henry was a beast. That's a sentence we have uttered a million times in the past, dating back to that brother's time at Alabama. Derrick Henry was a beast is a sentence we knew we would utter at times during this year. It's probably not something we're going to be saying on a week-to-week basis. But his performance was spectacular. He was phenomenal yesterday. Absolutely phenomenal. 151 yards on the ground. 174 total yards. Two touchdowns. And just like the 49ers defense, that Cowboys defense might be a problem. And what changed my mind in that I was willing to stall the Cowboys out a little bit. Jesse just said it. This is probably a Ravens thing. This is actually something the Ravens are probably watching on film significantly closer than the Cowboys are. Because the Ravens got to start wondering, why do we give up so many points in the fourth quarter? We nearly blew another double-digit fourth-quarter lead. This one would have been way worse than what had happened to the Raiders the week prior. But that run, that 8-9 minute run or whatever it was that the Cowboys went on, it was all erased when I saw that footage of Micah Parsons at his locker. He sounded like he was done with this organization. He sounded like he was done with this team. That's probably a reach on my part because he was pissed. And he talks about how one guy not doing their job affects everybody else. And it's hard for me to think he's not talking about himself. He's doing his job, and the guys around him are not. And that affects Micah's productivity, Micah's upcoming contract negotiation, and it affects the Cowboys' ability to win football games. Much like the Raiders when AP took over last year, much like the San Francisco 49ers for the last handful of years, a lot of the Dallas Cowboys' success has been based on what they do on the defensive end. Have had a solid offense, have had really solid weapons on the offensive end, have gotten production from guys like Brock Purdy and CeeDee Lamb. But I'd make the argument that a lot of their regular season success has been what the defense has been able to do, what Micah and that group has been able to do. That defense doesn't look good anymore. And obviously, I don't watch the Dallas Cowboys as closely as I watch the San Francisco 49ers. So it's a little bit harder to tell, is this something that can be fixed? Is this something where they're maybe missing a piece? Maybe they need someone to return? Is this tweaks to the scheme? Or is this a full-on problem that they can't recover from? Is this a personnel issue? Personnel issues are a whole lot harder to recover from than scheming issues.
I think it's exactly what it is.
Personnel?
Yeah, because I don't think we could have looked at their running backs and been like, oh yeah, Zeke Elliott's going to fix it. Rico Dowdle is going to fix it. Dalvin Cook coming off practice squad is going to fix it. Like, that's not going to happen. And like I said, after CeeDee Lamb, their wide receiver room was weak.
Well, they don't have enough skill players on the offensive end, but the fact that their defense seems to have disintegrated so quickly, that's a much bigger concern to me. And having one side of the ball kind of dissipate a little bit and the other side of the ball doing the same, man, that's a recipe for disaster for the Cowboys.
It might not just be a good football team at this point.
And that it could just be as simple as that. You have good players like Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb. You have really good players like Micah Parsons. You have other solid quality, to use a basketball term, role players on that squad who do their job well. And in the end, it amounts to what we saw on Sunday, a team that's just not good enough. And I think the Cowboys know that 8-minute run was fool's gold. That's why I think Micah responded the way that he did. And I don't know how they get over that in a week. We asked the question, when the Cowboys had two games under their belt, were they the team that looked incredible in week one, or were they the team that got blown out in week two? And for 52 minutes, they were the team in week two yesterday. For 52 minutes, the Cowboys were owning two blowouts this year. And that's starting to show who you are as a football team. Like, you take a look at what Fred Warner said. Take a look at what Fred Warner said yesterday after the game. And he said, we've got to be better. You know, Fred's a consummate professional, right? He's a leader. Fred's going to say the right thing. He's not going to push a red button until he knows pushing that red button is going to work. Like, that is going to be the last resort. But he said, you know, we got to be better. All three facets of the game. It's just typical football leader speak. coach speak. Offense, defense, special teams. He knows. He came up short and the defense came up short. He knows that. He didn't call his guys out. He knew that the special teams came up short. Didn't call nobody out. He knew that the offense came up short. Didn't call nobody out. We've all got to be better. Offense, defense, special teams. We're going to be better. We will be better. And we'll be ready next week. They said, we're going to go watch film. We'll be ready for next week. All right, Fred. As generic as can be. And juxtapose that with Micah. Now, of course, Micah didn't call any names out, but made it clear there are people here who are not doing what their job. Didn't say that the defense has got to be better. Oh, we've just got to be better in all facets of the game. No, he said there's people who aren't doing their job. I'm playing for me. I'm playing for my family. I'm playing for the guys in these locker rooms or in these lockers right here. How many of these guys are saying the same? Called into question the motives of his teammates. Wasn't no scrub either. That's Micah Parsons. One of the top defensive players in the game. And another week of that Cowboys defense looking like garbage. Man's got something to say about it. That gets my attention. That was the one I needed where it was like, yep. That was it. That run was fool's gold. I think Jesse's spot on, too. I think the Ravens went into the film room with that video far more concerned about what they saw in using that film far more than the Dallas Cowboys are. What are the Dallas Cowboys going to say? Dallas Cowboys take that film in the final 8 minutes. What are they going to say? Oh, look, here's what we did right in the final 8 minutes. And in the end, when it came time to make a singular play, when everyone was uptight because a blowout had turned into a close game, what happened? Lamar Jackson, the reigning MVP, made a play. What happened? The Dallas Cowboy defense, with their back against the wall, couldn't. Even though the conversation might change a little bit as the game is being played, the end takeaways are exactly the same. The Cowboys' defense is bad. And they're outmatched. And there's probably going to be a lot of games where they're outmatched. And when push came to shove, a struggling Baltimore offense who had gone quiet was able to make a play against the defense that just isn't good enough. And Jesse's point could be 100% accurate at this point. We break it apart with offense. We break it apart with defense. We break it apart with Mike McCarthy and coaching, all of these different things. The simple fact of the matter is the Cowboys might not just be a good football team. They just might not be very good. And how they become a bit, I don't know, what's the answer, fire Mike McCarthy? Mike McCarthy's going to give them a run game? Look, I don't think Mike McCarthy is a good coach. But he going to get them a run game? As everybody saw on social media, Jerry Jones concerned about the wrong things.
Let's keep it real. This is probably a gap year for the Cowboys.
But okay, so a gap year implies there's a plan at the end. People like to throw the term gap year around. Gap year in college is I'm taking this year off, and next year I'm going back and I'm getting my Bachelor's of Science degree in communications. Cool. Gap year. Makes sense. What is the gap between for the San Francisco for the Dallas Cowboys? This bad football team, gap year, what's the plan?
You hire a real coach? Because, I mean, like, the fact that they're going into the season, well, playing through the season with Mike McCarthy as a lame duck coach, like, that just tells you everything you need to know. They did nothing to fix the running back position at all. They kind of just whatever about that.
Yeah.
And then maybe next year you look at your secondary or whatever in the draft or the running back position. Like, you actually address those positions rather than just Dear. Here's Zeke Elliott or whoever you want. You actually hire a coach that has a future there. Mike McCarthy's on his way out. There's no way.
Oh, there's no
question.
No. I'm not arguing.
I think going through a year like that, knowing all that, like, yeah, that's a gap year. You have no expectations of winning anything.
I don't question. Oh.
You might not say it out loud, but that's all right there out in the open for us to see.
You tell Dak that?
No, but like I said, like, you don't say it out loud, but it's all there. It's all right there for us to see.
With the idea that you've signed Dak, you've signed CD, or I guess you will sign
CD. You have your future locked up.
Like, you have your three pillars still locked up. I think they have a lot of guys that need to go. I think not even so much. Maybe it's not them. Maybe it just boils down to the fact it is Mike McCarthy. Maybe they've just stopped responding to that dude. Maybe they never responded to that dude. But I don't know how things get better for the Dallas Cowboys moving forward.
So I don't see how you could seriously talk to me, you, or anyone about the Cowboys. Like, yes, this is a Super Bowl contender. Like, in what way? In what way are they even, like, favorites to win their division at this point? Like, Philly doesn't look great, but I think they're better than Dallas right now, even with Nick Sirianni.
3 weeks in, they're absolutely not a Super Bowl contender. They got the New York Giants coming up next week on Sunday Night Football. They got their first win of the season. That's not Thursday. That's a
Giants.
They're on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah.
I said Sunday Night Football. They're on Thursday Night Football. Pittsburgh is on Sunday night, and then Detroit. So you got the Giants, the Steelers, and the Lions coming up. Then they got a Week 7 bye. Then they'll face the 49ers, Falcons, Eagles, and Texans in the four games coming out of the bye. They got a bit of a tough schedule. I'm not sure what the Commanders are. I don't think they're good. I think there's a lot of team stories that'll be told over the course of the next few weeks. Like, will Pittsburgh have a loss by the time they get there, or will they have a couple of losses by the time they get there? Well, I guess they can only have one. And then Detroit. I don't know what to think about Detroit either, but I think I might still take the Cowboys to win the division.
I lean more than missing the playoffs than winning the division.
You'd go Philly?
Yeah. They won yesterday in spite of their coach, in spite of their head coach.
So, okay, listen, let me ask you another question. Okay. Saquon, doing this all year?
Yeah, he's a difference maker. He can do this all year, I think.
Man, okay. If Saquon does this all year, then you're right. If this is Saquon Barkley in a Philadelphia Eagles uniform this season, that's it. I'm with you. In spite of Nick Sirianni, I'm with you.
Yeah, Nick Sirianni is not a good coach. I'm out on him too. But both teams, like Dallas and Philly, both have their issues, but their rosters next to each other, Philly's is just better.
I wonder what division, because we talked a lot about the South, NFC South. I wonder what division does shake out to be the best. I didn't put them as a statement game or a statement win. I thought Green Bay's win was pretty impressive.
I tried to tell you and KC don't write them off too soon.
Don't do that.
I did. I tried to tell you guys, give them a chance.
They'll know it all. No, they nah, you're right. You did, and they deserve credit for the way that they played. Like,
I mean, that might be the division though. The Vikings look good. I think the Vikings are legit. Detroit is good.
Yep.
Jordan Love's going to be back soon, so I think Green Bay's done enough to already get through that little phase of him being out.
Yeah, they're already doing the flirty thing with, like, he's just day-to-day. Like, he could come back at any second.
The AFC North, Baltimore will find the way back, but that's just two teams right there, Cleveland and Cincinnati. Cincinnati season might be over if they lose to Washington today.
Yeah, that is a... I'll stop short of saying it's over if they lose today. I just don't know what you say about them if they lose today. The Commanders.
They're at home, Bengals, too, honestly. If you lose at home to the Commanders, I think it's fair to write them off.
And they haven't been, like, they're losing, And they haven't looked good.
Jamar Chase has yet to get going.
Yeah, there's nothing where you go like, nah, Cincinnati's, nah, they got something. They're legit. Like, nah, they have some things they can pull through. Like,
at this point, there's more highlights of Joe Burrow shaking his wrist than him throwing touchdown passes.
Joe Burrow in the Gatorade bottle. Goodness gracious. Jaguars at Bills tonight, Commanders at Bengals. There's two Monday night football games for absolutely no reason whatsoever. So fire up the multi-view, and we'll close out week number three with Jaguars at Bills. Bills have a chance to move to 3-0. 0-3 Jaguars will sure be an interesting conversation. And then it's the Commanders at the Bengals there. Will Joe Burrow in that group in Cincinnati ever get going? We'll come back. James Hamm's going to join us at the top of the hour. And, you know, for all of the flaws that the San Francisco 49ers had yesterday, and I understand they had a lot of them, one that they didn't was Brock Purdy. And the numbers absolutely support that. The numbers also support when you're trying to better your health, better your fitness, don't do it blindly. Go to trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. You can get a free nutritionist consultation. You can use their free macro calculator. You can put in your height, your weight, your goals, and it'll help. It'll tell you what types of calories you should be consuming. My man Greg, Train with Map, Maptrition, they're all geared towards everybody living a healthier lifestyle, whether your goal is fitness or just being healthier. trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320 is your ultimate resource. There's also a link to maptrition.com right there on the page that'll lead you to all of the different supplements that I take that we have been talking about throughout the last few months or so. So head over to trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320, and we will come back with more here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Shout out to Ryan Clark. I appreciate people who just kind of go for it fashion-wise. And Ryan Clark appears to be wearing, like, all orange. Like, the suit is orange. Like, I mean, like, WNBA hoodie orange. The undershirt is orange. The tie is orange. Like, he really is leaning heavy.
Is he wearing that same thing that he's been wearing where it's got, like, the buttons and then the kind of weird collar or whatever that's buttoned as well? It's not like a normal suit or anything like
that. No, I think he has a tie on today.
Oh, okay. Yeah, never mind.
I think it's a slightly different cut than the one he's been wearing, but Ryan just, he just took the ESPN per diem and said, I'm just getting all of the, give me a suit in all of the colors. Man up there cooking. I ain't even mad at him. James Hamm would never wear an orange suit, but he will join us at the top of the hour. Plenty to talk to him about, especially King season's right around the corner. He'll give us the definitive dates because, truthfully, I forgot them. And I know I already asked them, so I'm just going to ask them again. Again, James Hamm coming up in about 10 minutes. For all of the frustrations that the San Francisco 49ers have coming out of yesterday's loss to the Los Angeles Rams, and I'm sure it's quite a few, for all of the frustrations that San Francisco 49ers fans have coming out of the loss to the Los Angeles Rams yesterday, and I'm sure it's quite a few, one of those frustrations should not be the quarterback. Brock was really good yesterday. Brock has been really good this year. He had his seventh career game yesterday with three touchdowns and zero interceptions. In 24 starts, he has 16 games with a passer rating of 100+. Only Patrick Mahomes has more in his first 25 games. That's 18. Brock still has the opportunity to get to 17 if he plays well and posts that type of rating in against New England. And a stat that really stood out to me, and it kind of falls in line with what we saw yesterday, or excuse me, it really falls in line with what we saw last year. Brock Purdy has the second most passing yards in the NFL on the 12th most passing attempts. That is a hell of a stat that speaks to his efficiency. And when you look at the game he had yesterday, and you talk about Brock is a product of Christian McCaffrey. Brock is a product of Deebo Samuel and George Kittle. And any combination of the two, or the combination of the three, or one or the other. He showed that he's not. Because Juwan Jennings, who I asked repeatedly through the Brandon Ayuk nonsense, could he be a number one? The answer was emphatically no. Like, he can't. He doesn't have the speed that Brandon Ayuk has. He's good. He could potentially even be very good. But he's probably not a suitable substitute for Brandon Ayuk. Now, I'm not arguing whether he is or he isn't. I'm arguing he appears to be a very, very capable of receiver. Again, 12 targets. Made the most of them with 11 receptions. 175 yards, 3 touchdowns. Everybody's seen these stats by now. He was a massive difference maker for the San Francisco 49ers offense yesterday. The offense was surgical through the first 14 minutes of the game. Jordan Mason, I thought, was good. He wasn't as good as he had been in the two prior weeks. Failed to make history by rushing for 100 yards for his third straight game. But 19 and 77, not the worst look. 19 and 77, caught a couple of passes early, like first quarter. Actually, first two drives out of the backfield, where I really started to wonder, like, hey, this is the moment right here. You get Jordan Mason doing things like that, this is a difference maker. You know, one thing we ain't even talk about with Brandon Ayuk, and it just felt so fitting, and I hate that I even chuckle thinking of it. That wild, the play at the end of the game where it's toss the ball back. It didn't end until it got to Ayuk. Everybody on the friggin' 49ers offense touched the ball. And it looked like, hey, they might have something going here. And then it gets to Ayuk, and Ayuk gets hit. Ball hits the ground. Lateral over. Dreams of a miracle play done. It's like, oh. BA really can't catch a break no matter what. But the good thing for Brandon Ayuk, and the good thing for San Francisco 49er fans, is Brock Purdy's playing at an extraordinary level. Brandon Ayuk has to find a way to get open. I know he's been open a few times this year, and Brock has just missed him. I don't think it'd be ridiculous to think that Brock Purdy is avoiding Brandon Ayuk, which you see on social media, because social media is very literally the stupidest place on the planet. Stay off of there at all costs. Get into the Chatty House Discord, where the conversation is much more intelligent. But Brandon Ayuk is like, there's, if you're frustrated with the 49ers offense, and though I think that's the last place to be frustrated with, you know, there's probably something still there with Brandon Ayuk. It may not develop as quickly as we wanted to, and now you know you might have something in Juwan Jennings. There's a lot of good things when it comes to the 49ers offense, namely Trent Williams, namely Brock Purdy. They have got to figure out their flaws on the defensive end. I don't know how, if Jacoby Brissett carves up the 49ers defense, this we just have to start talking about this team. They're really, really just a regular football team. They're nothing that you can even remotely resemble, that can remotely resemble a Super Bowl contender.
Well, I think if the game were to go the Patriots' way and all that, or say it were to be ugly, I think the way it goes is that the Patriots' defense kind of limits the 49ers' offense, and they can't stop the run against New England. It'd be sort of like Ramondre Stevenson like running all over them, and then Jacoby Brissett kind of dotting them up when he needed to. It would be an ugly game, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I got you. Probably not.
It'd be one, though, where we leave, and it's like, the offense might have not done well, but it's still like Niners defense just couldn't stop anything again.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually a great point. If we get out of that game, and obviously this is just complete hypothetical at this point, but if we get out of that game against the Patriots, there's absolutely a situation where they win, and you're still frustrated with that offense. especially in the scenario that Jesse just laid out. Obviously, a loss will, I mean, we're talking full panic mode at that time. But a win, like, there's, look, I get you play to win the game. I understand that. But we're entering week four. There's a lot of time left. At some point, you're going to want to see this defense start to play better. Now, just because they didn't play well in the first 3 weeks of the season, particularly the last two, doesn't mean that they won't. But in Jesse's scenario, if it continues, if that sample size continues to grow, it becomes more and more concerning.
New England's offensive line isn't great, too. We'll see if the 49ers pass rush is able to do something, if they're ready to get to the quarterback finally.
Yeah, at some point you're going to need to see Nick Bosa walk away with a couple of sacks, or you're going to need to see, if it's not Bosa, it's Hargrave or it's Fred Warner. Like, Fred Warner was so impactful against the New York Jets. You need a guy, and maybe that's what this really boils down to, is we always talk about a guy on the offensive end who kind of sets the tone, sets the standard for what that game looks like. In this case, it was Juwan Jennings. Maybe that's what you need to see from the San Francisco 49ers defense. You need to see that guy who sets the tone, whether it's Fred Warner or it's Hargrave or it's Bosa or it's somebody else. You need a guy who has a standout performance. That standout performance in week one came from Fred Warner. He did so many things on the defensive end that were impactful to the 49ers and them winning that game in the manner in which they did against the New York Jets. No one had it last week against Minnesota. No one had it yesterday against Los Angeles. And at some point, one of them big boys over there on the defensive end is going to have to step up and have to have the type of impact that Fred Warner had in week number one. Because the special team stuff, I think, will get corrected. The special team stuff, I think, is scheming. I don't think it's personnel. But the defense, that remains to be seen a little bit. You lost guys. It's not the exact same team. And sometimes when we think, well, we got Fred Warner, we got Nick Bosa, you had to remove Eric Armstead, that's tough, but I think it's okay. You remove a couple. They don't have Dre Greenlaw. Like, there's players that they don't have, and I think sometimes we just go, oh, it's okay. It's all right. Well, no, the defense is going to be different. And it's up to the 49ers in the way that they scheme things to make sure that the impact is less. But 1-2, double-digit loss or double-digit lead in the fourth quarter. It's going to be a long week till Sunday. You sneak that win out. Ronnie Bell catches that ball. 49ers kick the field goal. You sneak that win out. I still don't think people are feeling great. But the conversation's a little bit different because you're 2-1, you're headed into New England, or you're headed against New England, and you just got to clean things up, right? Simple line, just got to clean things up. It's all good. But they didn't.
You think, EE asked in the chat, is Bosa playing like a top-rated DN? Do you think he's playing to the level of TJ Watt and Myles Garrett and those guys right now?
No.
When do you think the last time, like, that he did, was it late last season or we've been kind of asking Nick Bosa to tear it up for a little while now.
I mean, Nick was fine last year. I don't know that he's not playing like either one of those guys.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.